Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. You are tuned into Guns in America this evening on this open mic / discussion. I'd like to welcome all of you to this evening's episode. My name is Dee Dee Rice. I am the host of the Poetic Soul Talk Show since June of 2014, proud to announce. I am also the author of Poetry to Life, Youth, Struggle, Love, as well as the author of Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls, 42 unpublished letters. By the way, if you did not get either or did not get both, please do so by visiting PoeticSoulInc.com and visit the boutique where you can order either or both books. And thank you. A shout out to all of those who have been reading and supporting me throughout this journey and also with ordering Dear Royals, Hopeful Panhandlers and Hopeful Souls. It's been nothing but beautiful and positive feedback. Very, very humbling. And so I'd like to thank all who have supported me with that. I am also a veteran teacher of English language arts in the Bronx, New York City, which I am dreading the next few days because my vacation is coming to an end, but I do represent the Bronx, Boogie Down Bronx, all day, every day. Shout out to the Bronxites who may be listening or may not be. This is my city. With that being said, I wanted to go through some of the protocols with regards to the show for those of you that may not know, and I've added one just, you know, for the sake of all of our voices. First and foremost, if you have not yet followed the talk show at blogtalkradio.com, please do so by visiting blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life. Two is the number two, life. And there you can tune into all of our past episodes as well as being kept abreast of future episodes to come. Once again, please follow the show. We are growing as a community, and the followers definitely help us all out. If you're going to speak on the air this evening, your voice is welcome. Please feel free to share your opinions or your poetry or both. However, you must press star 1 to go into queue as far as letting me know that you would like to speak on the air. If you're listening online at blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life, please use the chat box to send questions, comments, feedback, and I will do my best to answer or read those comments on the air before the episode is over. If you're going to speak on the air this evening, please refrain from using any profanity. Yes, we're passionate poets. I say it all the time, myself included. However, so that we do not offend those who are tuning in, please improv if necessary before shouting profanity out on the air. And finally, I did want to say, if possible, because we do get into debates and conversations and discussions, and they do become very engaging, which I enjoy them. Please don't get me wrong. However, for the sake of those waiting to speak, let's please keep our answers kind of short, a little, you know, maybe 2 to 3 minutes long. And then if in addition to your comment, you would like to read a poem, that may also occupy some time, and we don't want anyone to get off of the air without feeling like they had an opportunity to also share their voice. So if that's just one of the new quote-unquote rules I would like to share with our listening audience. And so Steve, also known as Stunning One, a dear supporter and member of the Poetic Soul Talk Show family, gave me this idea back in July, I believe, in terms of discussing guns in America. And so pending next week, Thursday, there will not be an episode. I said, let me get this episode out there before the summer ends. This is without, you know, these are the thoughts I were having without this announcement of the unfortunate event that took place with the reporter and cameraman being killed in Virginia yesterday. And so apparently and obviously, whether you watch the news or not, if you're on social media or not, you pretty much know that there is some type of issue with guns in this country. And so this evening I wanted to kind of circle the conversation around gun laws, gun control. When we discussed Charleston 9, you know, this young man who killed these 9 innocent victims in a church in Charleston, South Carolina, seem to have easy access to a gun. And this conversation and question is constantly being discussed, whether it's in the news, in church, on the news, in schools. I mean, I work in a junior high school. I teach 6th grade students, and they have to go through metal detectors every day. And I mean, this is not just a reality, obviously, for my school, but it is one that, you know, it really makes you question the world that we live in. And so I don't think anyone knows for sure what we can do as a country. How can we start, you know, making our voices heard when it comes to this issue. And yes, there is a caller waiting to speak. Greetings and welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who am I speaking to and where are you calling from? Hello, welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Ahmad from Connecticut.
Hi, Ahmad. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know you slammed a very passionate poem on the episode before last, and it did include some reference to, you know, violence in urban communities and so on and so forth. How do you feel about guns in America, and what, if anything, do you have to say regarding the laws, gun control, gun frequency, anything related to that, you know, weapon of death for the most part?
I feel like guns in America have lost their original purpose. I think that the original purpose for firearms was for protection and, you know, for around, you know, the military and the police to use if necessary. But I think what has happened is our society is so tuned into violence. Like, our society has become a more violent society. We've just become more violent. Like, everyone wants, especially like when you see all the things going on in the news about, you know, like people shooting other people, or, you know, like police shooting innocent people or whatever. Our society has just become naturally more violent. And, you know, what's sad is it's almost as if we've lost sight of the fact that we're all human living in a world. Like, our society is more hateful and it's more violent. And the hate, it turned into violence. So now it's like you have all these unnecessary killings and you have, like, all this crazy stuff happening. And I think really, and as a result, it's become more, it's become easier for to get guns. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous when people on the streets, they can get guns that, you know, the military has. You know, they can get guns the military has. They can get guns the police has. And I think what needs to be done is, I think, not only does there need to be more education on the use of weapons and stuff like that. But I think it just needs to be more love. I think we need to just change the way we treat each other as a community. I think it's just so much hate. And I think what we need to do as a people is that we need to just embrace each other with love. Like, that's really all that's missing, is, like, we need to learn how to love each other more and stop, you know, judging each other and hating each other. Like, we're a society that if you don't dress like me or you don't look like me, I'm going to hate you. I'm going to think something is wrong with you. I'm going to think you're weird. And I think that, you know, that's really where all of the hatred and that stuff comes from, because of the fact that we're trained to hate what we don't understand. We're trained to, you know, judge or point fingers at somebody. And I think that, you know, while gun control laws, they are about as good as they can get, I think that we need to be mindful of those that we are putting into office, because the guns are coming. We need to be mindful of those we are putting in office and allowing to be policymakers and lawmakers, because these guns are not just getting on the street, you know.
No, they have a way. They have a way in. They have a way into the country. They have a way into gun shops. They have a way into the streets. You know, they have a way into the wrong hands, and whatever way that may be is the way that needs to be controlled, addressed, and possibly eliminated. And I appreciate you sharing that with us this evening. We do have callers waiting, and I don't want them to not be able to speak, but I do appreciate your voice, and what you had to say always is so very profound and right on time in terms of my opinion anyway. The love, we need the love. And we need the education. We need the love, and we need help for people with mental illness, which I would also like to do a separate episode about, because it's still such a quote unquote taboo topic to discuss, and, you know, people don't believe that they exist, but they do. And it's unfortunate that sometimes these guns end up in the hands of people who are very mentally unhealthy and unstable. And so, you know, it's like it's just a cornucopia of different issues that really go towards this gun conversation. But I could not put you on hold without asking you if you had a poem to share with us this evening.
I do. Hold on, let me find it. I'm trying to find a short one because of time.
Did you have one in mind to share already? Please don't move away from that. Well, then share that one.
Okay.
Don't worry about time. We want to hear your voice.
The title of this poem is called Tell Them. And it's, it's actually the first part of what I shared the other week. And it's really just talking about what I want the world to know about me. Like, it just, I don't want to be just another, you know, average person, like somebody that sits around and complains about stuff, but they don't do anything to change. Like, just basically just telling the world, like, before I leave this world, like, I want to be one of those people that, it's sort of like what Tupac said, like, he's not saying that he's going to be the one that's going to, like, make everything change completely, but he thinks that he's going to be, like, the brain behind it or something. I don't know the exact quote, but it was something to that effect.
But you know that's my boo, though, right? You don't know that, but I just told you, so now you know from now on, because that's my boo. Okay, so whenever you're ready, I'm definitely listening now even more intently than I was before.
All right.
Okay.
Tell them, before I am no longer here, before God pulls the curtain and the stage play of my life and the light grows dim, tell them who I am. Speak no lies, nor speak what was already spoken. Speak the truth. Tell them I was a man in many words, but oftentimes stayed silent out of fear of what my words could do. Tell them I never moved out of my comfort zone as often as I should. Tell them I stood alone because my friends weren't really my friends. Tell them I was imperfect, but I tried. Tell them there were days I pretended to be fine when I really wanted to die. Tell them I died daily to my flesh and resurrected as a better person. Tell them I wasn't always that person. That there were days when I shadow boxed with the inner man in me because I never felt good enough, because you're only good enough when you sacrifice your purpose for their approval. Tell them I never needed approval. Tell them I never needed validation. Tell them that God is the foundation of my life. Speak of fear. Speak of insecurity. Speak of the nights I convinced women to compromise their purity for the sake of my own desires. Tell them I took what I couldn't have and had what they couldn't take. Tell them I finished everything I started, even when it remained undone. Speak of victory. Speak of pain. Speak of the nights I never wanted to wake up from because every day felt the same. Tell them I was half human, half gladiator the way I fought with my words. Tell them these are more than just words. Tell them I went to war with my demons. They came back with their bones. Tell them my flow was so righteous it could prophesy scripture. Tell them I was scripture. Tell them I had the mind of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Dr. King. Tell them I was a king before I had a crown, and having a crown doesn't make you a king. What makes you a king is how you carry yourself, how you treat other people, and serve God in the face of your enemies. Tell them my enemies never had a chance with his life without chance, with a chance without faith. Tell them I was relentless. Tell them I was humble and that I never crumbled under pressure, that the pressure only made me great. Speak of loyalty. Speak of honor. Speak of sacrifice. Speak of the nights I spent writing poems about beauty to hide how ugly I felt. Tell them I was a light they couldn't dim. Tell them my mind was a gem the world never got to see. Tell them my life was a beautiful tragedy I'm still trying to make sense of. Tell them I could never find love, so I gave my heart to this poetry. Tell them that this is more than poetry, but chapters of my life I never found the courage to close. Tell them I know what it's like to be crucified with words and crippled by insecurity. Tell them the insecurity nailed the doors to my heart shut, and I've spent my entire life trying to pry them open and embrace my flaws. Tell them I had the mind of a freedom rider. Tell them I was more than a writer but a revolutionary. Tell them I was a lion they couldn't tame. Tell them every time I opened my mouth I exposed the truth. Tears fell in my silence and it felt like church. Tell them my poems meant the hearts of everyone I've hurt, and that they were the blueprint for change. Tell them I never changed. Tell them I was real, I was raw, and I was honest. And to be honest, I don't want to be forgotten. that I refuse to be just another name inside of a file cabinet of dead bodies that never embodied what it took to live their dreams. I want my dreams to be taken and hung inside a museum next to things people thought were impossible. I want to show the world that impossible is just a word that cowards use to define things they never had the courage to do. I want to do the unthinkable. I want to speak the unspoken. Tell them. My poems that wouldn't touch hearts, but they opened minds and made people leave with an open mind. Tell them I want to walk on the moon and leave my footprints in the stars for the world to see, and that one day I just feel like they're going to love me. You know, I've never been too fond of expressing my emotions, but my poetry will allow me to die as an open book for the world to read. And I know they might have ignored me when I was here, but I'll make sure they pay attention before I leave.
Whoa. Whoa. Well, I mean, if that poem didn't tell him, I don't know. That definitely delivered the message. What a beautiful piece. And the way you slam it, I mean, damn it, Gina. Damn it. And I said that the last time, didn't I? Damn it, Gina. Thank you so much for sharing that with us this evening. Ahmad, thank you for tuning in. Please make sure you stay with us for the rest of this episode, as well as tune in to the episode Thursday after next, which will be September 10th.
I will. Can you also send me like a I'm going to give you my email on Instagram. Can you send me like a little invoice so I can donate? Because I don't think that is right that, you know, I come up here and, like, you know, like I get my feedback and input and I've never donated. So I want to be a blessing to the show and donate.
Thank you so much. I'll definitely DM you the information.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on 1 minute. Stay with us, Ahmad. Woo, y'all are tuned in to the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening. We're talking about guns in America, and Ahmad, our brother from Connecticut, just slammed a piece that just, whew. Okay. So I'm going to go to the phone lines because I'm a little speechless. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Hi, how you doing? Don Ford, the poet, calling from Queens, New York.
Hey, Don Ford, long time no speak to.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm great.
Of course,
how
of
are
course.
You?
I'm chilling. I'm blessed. I'm humble.
Yes,
alive.
All of the above. Yes, thankful, right? Thankful for that.
Yeah.
So share with us this evening how you feel about guns in America. I know you have. You probably have a lot of feelings about it, but
I mean, it's like you know, it's mixed feelings, truthfully. Because I honestly am a licensed gun holder myself, but I personally feel like there will never be any type of control because as you said prior that they don't come here by themselves, just like drugs, just like anything else. It's not here by itself. And it cannot be in this country. It cannot be in any state. It cannot be in any country without any type of government official okaying its location.
Right.
They are where they are for the destruction of who they want to be destroyed.
Well, you just took us to church and back, and I completely get it, what you stated and what you did not state. So does that mean that we should not have hope in the situation improving or frequency decreasing?
Truthfully, it's like I'm not somebody that just, you know, speak off of daydreams. So I'm gonna be real. No. And that's been, people can say what they say, but if that's the case, it would have been settled.
Right.
How long has it been?
How many people still dying?
And as you said before, that you're gonna have your separate show about like mental illness. I mean, again, things are the way they are, where they need them to be. You know what I mean? And that's not going to change as long as what the type of things that's back in the system is continuously back in the system.
Right. I mean, I know when understand. And for those of you that tuned in, y'all are tuned in to Guns in America on the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening. It's not only an open mic episode, but an open discussion in which you can feel free to share your voice and opinion as well as your poetry if you have. If you don't have, you can still speak on the air this evening. I remember when Sandy Hook took place, and they were talking in Connecticut with all of those first grade children that were killed and a few of the staff members, and they were talking about the gun laws, and then whoever it is that protects the gun laws was speaking and saying it's not the guns, it's the people. And so people still have the right to bear arms, is according to the Constitution, and the conversation went on and on and on. And what you're saying kind of takes away all the questions that I did have planned to ask, because what can we do if the system, quote unquote, is providing these weapons for people so frequently and easily? What can we as individuals do about it? I guess get bulletproof vests, huh?
Yeah, because think about it, exactly. Like for example, with that Sandy Hook, but see how government officials try to shut certain things down, and best believe people, these gun product makers and NRA and all that was like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
when you
that's
shut,
what it was,
when,
the NRA.
When you shut things down where they get their money, they shut things down everywhere. Meaning military, police forces, whatever else. They shut it down.
Mm.
So
just to ask you quickly, not to cut you off.
No, that's cool.
Was it difficult for you to get a gun license? Just it's a yes or a no. You don't have to go into the specifics, but I'm wondering.
No. No,
it wasn't. Wow.
And what made it easier is the fact that I do security. So it made it easier. But there are limits to the license I have.
Right.
Yeah, they'll give you a premise license. You know what I mean? Like, you can get a premise license. But this, the country, the state, every country, every state inside of this country is free. So any way they can get money from you, they will get that money from you. So, yeah, as long as you're paying that money and you have a decent background, you're going to get a license for that home. Because, like you said, the Constitution has the right to bear arms. It's just where they want you to bear arms is where it comes in.
Right. Yeah, because my daughter's going to be 10 in February, and moving forward, I might have to look into that further. But it would definitely not be for the sake of going crazy at any given time, actually, you know, more of a like protection. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, you know, and even, you know, bothering to share with us the fact that you have a license to carry. Do you have a poem for us?
Yeah, I have a poem. This poem is called Letter to My Brother.
We doing letters this evening, y'all.
Yeah,
shout out to the letter writers. Whenever you're ready, we're listening.
Pretty much real quick, this isn't like a letter to my brother in general. It's like a letter to my brothers as far as my African kin that I breathe the same air with, you know? Stuff like that.
We're ready.
I am not your enemy. We are synonyms in this life of poetry. Understand, they've underhandedly stolen our mentality with trickery. I am not your enemy. They are destroying our possibilities for our youth as they point their guns and shoot. As we continue this cycle and break down each other while screaming about a revolution. Yet, I am not your enemy. I am not what these streets brainwashed you to think of me. Yes, our past is complicated as we've orchestrated our own demise, but look into my eyes and you will see I am ready to turn those truths into lies. But first, you must realize I am not your enemy.
Period. Point blank, period. I love it. Short, sweet, and to the point. And thank you for resonating and repeating that message, because people need to be reminded. I think the biggest enemy we all face is the one in the mirror. And that's just my personal opinion, but that was a dope poem. Thank you so much, Donford. Don't be so MIA. Come through. We miss your voice and your poetry. Thank you so much.
I wish your book opening wasn't on the day I had my son, but you know, I'd have loved to come to that. But it's the day I had my son, so it's like,
I get it, but there'll definitely be more events coming in the fall, for sure.
Yes.
I'll definitely keep you posted.
Yes, please.
I will. Thank you so much. Hold on, Doctor. Stay with us for the rest of the episode. You all are tuned in to the open mic episode, open discussion episode of the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening, Guns in America. For those of you that missed the first part, because I see more people are calling in, please tune in to the podcast thereafter at blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life, 2 being the number 2. Once again, I wanted to shout out a few individuals before I get to one of those individuals momentarily, because we do run on donations. And there was a very pivotal point 2 weeks ago around the 18th of August. Around the 18th of August, where I wasn't sure if we would be able to maintain our platform on the air. And people donated to the Poetic Soul Talk Show, the poets, the listeners, the viewers. And so I wanted to shout them out real quick, because without them, episodes running up until October 18th would not be possible without their donations. So I wanted to shout out K Digital real quick, Consul, K Digital 69 on Instagram. Life is Choreo, life_is_Choreo, who will be joining us momentarily. Steve, also known as Stunning One, the number one on Instagram, who you all know if you've ever tuned into any episode. Both him and Life is Choreo are frequent flyers on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. I wanted to shout out Art by AMW, that's AMW as in Alicia M. Walter, who is also the illustrator of my newest book, Dear Royals, as well as the logo designer of my small business company, Poetic Soul Inc. So I wanted to shout her out real quick. I wanted to shout out Heather Roberts, also known as Snuggles, F as in Friend 93, on Instagram. Her and I were both featured in this dope book of literary poetry called A Literary Assault on the American Mind. Thank you so much, Heather, for your donation, as well as Rona Randall, also known as I Am Poetic Heart on Instagram, who is also the author of 3 books, very introverted but very involved, and we need to try to pull her out of her shell a little bit. So definitely tune into I Am Poetic Heart on Instagram and start harassing her. You have DeeDee's permission to do so that she can speak and hopefully one day be a guest. But, yes, shout out to all of those poets, writers, artists, supporters of the Poetic Soul Talk Show, because they have made this episode and, as I stated, future episodes possible. If anybody else would like to donate, please do so by going to PayPal.com and donating to DeeDee, as in DeeDee Wright, ddpoetry@gmail.com. That's where the donations go that provide this platform. It is $40 a month for us to have the Poetic Soul Talk Show the way that we do. We don't want the free version because it's only 5 people that can be on. It's only 30 minutes. It's not prime time. Shout out to those poets. I'm going to the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay. I'm going to go back to this caller because there is another caller waiting to speak. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Hey, greetings. This is Kimmis, new state of mind, calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Kimmis. How are you? We listening to all the throwback poets this evening. It's Throwback Thursday. Thank you so much for calling in. It's been a while since we've heard your voice. And so, yes, Kimmis was also a guest, former guest on the Poetic Soul Talk Show, as was Don for the Poet. And, you know, they've been kind of MIA. But thank you for calling in this evening, Kimmis. And how are you?
I'm well. How you doing?
I'm great. I won't be so great next
Good.
Week. Thursday, but this week I'm good. I'm just a little nervous about this whole going back to work thing. I catch a major attitude Labor Day weekend every single year. But enough about me. How do you feel about guns in America? Any of your views or feelings regarding that?
I feel that guns in America, I mean, we do have the right to have them, but I feel that sometimes they get into the hands of the wrong people, and that's when things, you know, get out of control. So that's how I feel
as
about
a people,
that.
As a people or as individuals, do you have any suggestions on what we could do to minimize the problem, or do we not have any power at all? As Donford stated, we don't. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I feel that a lot of the power that we do have comes from our culture. Like, a lot of us get a lot of what we follow and what we do from what we listen to, what we watch, which has pretty much just become our culture, from music to movies to whatever it is. So I believe that the platform that you have to make a change, each individual can just choose not to promote it as much.
Right.
I know with like music and stuff like that, you got a lot of cats that come out and that's all they want to promote. They just want to promote their image. They just want everybody living their hood life and talk about guns and all this other stuff. But the platform that you have, in short, is what you can do to make the help with gun control. Just try not to promote it. Promote love, like the other call. I heard him say something about love. Yeah, something like that. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing because, you know, I just have a confession to make for those of you tuned in. Don't tell nobody, okay? I'm just telling y'all, and that's it. I do listen to The Lox, you know, I do listen to, I listen to music that is hip-hop music that I guess some people would be like, oh, no, she doesn't. Yes, I do. And while I'm listening to it, mostly when I'm driving by myself, of course, and it's loud, I am so aggressive that in my mind, I'm like, I got a gat in the glove compartment. But I don't, of course, act on that notion because there's no gun in the glove compartment, really. But in my mind, while I'm listening to that music, I turn straight Tupac. And it's like some people can't control that. And they really do believe, like, no, let me get this gun and let me put it in my back pocket, like Jadakiss said, or let me do what I'm listening to and watching and emulate this life when it isn't even really the lives of most of the people who are rapping and acting with it. I mean, you know what I mean? So I think you brought a very good point to the forefront, but the music and the culture is so influential on us that, I mean, especially our children and the younger generation, that it's like, oh, my God, how do we break that mental state of, nah, I'm going to be like Styles P. You know what I mean? Like, no, we don't want that.
Right.
But we have to definitely continue to teach and influence, you know, those around us that we can, like you said. Thank you so much for sharing that this evening, Kimmins. Do you have a poem for us? Kimmins, by the way, for those of you who are not familiar, he's the rapper poet to me because I just hear rap. Of course, the basis of hip-hop and rap music is poetry, but the way Kimmins spits it, it's really rap-like. And so that is what you bring to the Poetic Soul Talk Show platform, Kimmins, that not many can or do.
Thank you. With that being said, I was going to just let it float and say I don't have anything to share. But with that being said, I will share something. You did it. I wasn't going to share, but I will share something.
I'm kind of charming like that. Watch out now. You know how us Geminis do. But whenever you're ready,
yeah, you
you're
already
listening.
Know. All right, here we go. It goes like, all I need is some understanding. As I walk through hell, a brother barely standing. That's why I clutch my cannon in case they demand it to take my life from me. It's like I'm in a box where a body should be. I'm headed to the top.
My brother's starving with me. We're just trying to eat from this poison in the streets, and it's hard to sleep. Trying to survive all week. Reality, it speaks, but I ain't trying to listen to it. Down to my last cup of fluid just to get me through it. Surrounded by rats like I was walking through the sewer. Brothers I grew with, I had to break myself apart. In and out of love, I had to break a couple shorty hearts, but I can't dwell on that no longer, made me stronger. Now the streets can't take me under. To be eaten is the only thing to kill my hunger. Life is a struggle I refuse to stand under. And that's my piece.
And that was a dope piece. And you just put up on Instagram, sometimes it's like a jungle. Makes me wonder if I'm going to go under. And
right.
You just threw that piece out
that's
there.
Right.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And
you're
that
welcome.
That rhythm and that notion and the whole way in which, you know, you want to represent our people and our art and gifts. Please keep that going. And don't be a stranger, like I told John, for call in again within the next month at least.
Hey, but I've been calling, and I tried to get with you on the celebration episode for the year, but it was hard to get through. I've been here, but I just haven't been able to get through. So I always think about the poets, and I always look forward to hearing every Thursday night. I'm off on Thursdays now. I wasn't, so now I'm able to rock with y'all every Thursday that it's available. So I was happy about that. So I'm always ready to listen in.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sorry about not getting to you, but I'm going to be looking for your phone number from this point forward to make sure I get
you. 513.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Right away. Thanks,
okay.
Chemist. Hold on one moment. Stay with us for the rest of the episode. Y'all are tuned in to the Poetic Soul Talk Show episode, Guns in America. We've been kicking it all episode regarding gun laws, gun control, violence in this country, and what we can do as individuals to support the decrease of gun frequency, as well as how to promote more love, which has been the overall message of this evening's episode. If you missed part of it, definitely tune into the podcast, blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, once again, two being the number two life, and tune into the entire episode. And it's really dope. Not to say anything about the queens, because, you know, we run this motherfucker. Did I almost say that? But it's dope to hear the men speak about this, considering it is more frequent that we hear about men being shooters and men being shot, although, of course, it's not always that way, and we know that too. But their voices on this episode has just been super-duper dope. So with that being said, I'm going to the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Good evening. This is Life is Choreo calling from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn BK in the house. Life is Choreo, supporter, donor, frequent flyer, family member of the Poetic Soul Talk Show family. Thank you so much for tuning in again this evening. You've been pretty good on your track record. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Like I just told Chemist, I'm not going to be the nicest person next weekend, but this weekend I'm good. I'm straight. Thank you for asking. So how do you feel about the issue of the discussion regarding guns in America?
Pardon the pun, but that's a bit of a loaded question. I'm kind of torn. On one side, I feel that they are almost necessary. They have their place. You know, being an army brat, you know, I feel like they have their place. And then on the other side of the coin, it's just like with anything else, any tool that has ever been developed or engineered can go one of two ways. In the hands of positivity, it's a tool. You know, in the hands of, you know, corrupt people, it's a weapon. You know,
right.
So I'm kind of torn.
I understand that. I get it. What do you think, as individuals, if anything, we could do, you know, individually but still as a community to decrease the frequency, if anything, of gun violence and usage of guns in this country?
Education. That was just like the first. I listened to the question. And I said education because, you know, I'm an old school person, and I heavily believe in, you know, if there be an issue between two parties, and you know, we've all seen it at one point or another, you know, to just educate yourself. And, you know, we also know that only respect disrespect. So, you know, there comes a time in everyone, you know, in every person's life where, you know, you got to shoot the fair, again, pardon the pun, but, you know, it really doesn't have to get to the point where, you know, like you're looking for a gun to, you know, to devalue.
Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to shooting a fair one? Like, just put your fist up, fool. I mean, you know, get beat or do the beating and then walk away and leave it where it is. Why? When did it become about the guns? I can't honestly say I've always heard of guns. I've always heard gunshots. You know, I've always. But it just seemed like fist fighting is like super duper retro. Like, people don't even do that anymore.
They really don't. It's just like, you know, you settle it like men. You put your hands up. If you get knocked out, shake your hand, keep it moving. If, you know, I don't know where that went. It's just like savagery now. It's just like, you know, if I don't like you, I'm going to, you know, find a weapon to, you know, it's just the devaluing of
people. Yes. And that is what it boils down to. Well, thank you for sharing that. I did want to throw a question out there to you real quick that I did not have an opportunity to ask Chemist and Donford and Ahmad. But as far as mental illness and police brutality, police misusage of guns and mental illnesses, and how do you feel about the screening? Donford mentioned that it wasn't difficult for him to get a gun license, although it's restricted. How do you feel about the swiftness of people being able to get guns in that process between them wanting one and it being their property?
Well, the ability to get your hands on a firearm in this country, I don't know if you remember back in the 90s, you were able to walk into a Walmart 12 gauge, you know.
No, I don't remember that. I don't even remember Walmart.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, I didn't.
maybe I'm getting the stores mixed up, but there was a big box store where you were allowed to just go in there and over the counter, you know, walk in and get a Sprite and a sniper rifle.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
Are you talking about down south, Life is Corio?
No. I mean, just generally speaking, maybe it was more predominant in the South, but I know that there have been stores, you know, upstate that you can go and, you know, purchase over the counter a firearm.
A Sprite and
know.
A gun. That's crazy.
I don't know why that was the case, but it was. You know, I guess part of my mental process would be eugenics, but I feel like it is way too easy, you know, to get your hands on a firearm. Especially, you know, now. I mean, back then it was pretty easy, but now it's way too easy, you know, whether it's, you know, black market or kind of like under the table or, you know, whatever have you, but it's incredibly easy to get your hands on one. And as far as them being in the hands of a mentally unstable person, I think it just kind of speaks to the overall mental unhealthiness of a person to derive that, you know, the answer to my problem is to shoot somebody else or to potentially end another person's life because I don't agree with them or I don't like
something.
Them or something.
Right.
I think diminutively, I think it's mentally unhealthy to automatically go to a gun, you know, which is why I said education would probably change a lot of that.
But mentally, these people are clearly not in the right state of mind anyway. Like if I had a gun, you know, I wouldn't say I'm not feeling too well mentally. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm sad. Let me take this gun outside. I would know, you know, let me go get some help. So if you feel like, let me just go shoot up a place, bang, bang, let me just go shoot some people real quick, you know, and then go have lunch at Burger King, per se, you know, then it's like you clearly are not in a good mental space. And that's why I want to have that episode, you know, moving forward, because people need to know when they are not healthy mentally so that they can seek the help that they need to be better versus being in denial or not being aware of their own state of mind. It's just like the body. You take care of your body. You go to the doctor. You know, when your body isn't feeling well, you know where to go. Well, when your mind is not feeling well, you need to be able to do the same thing. But no less, thank you so much for answering that question and sharing that with us. Do you have a poem for us this evening?
Yes, I do. I'm actually kind of glad that I'm you know, in the position that I'm in, because the poem kind of like sums up what a lot of the other brothers were saying. So I'll just go ahead and dive in. The name of the piece is called Hollow Point.
We're listening. Ooh, Hollow Point. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hollow Point. See, what I learned is that rumors, wars and rumors of wars go so far explored, stored in the hearts of man, of patriotism and hate. Fate says peace is the son of liberty and the daughter of escape. 16 to a clip, slaps snug in place, but it's this face. This image, I've just debased. I'm cocking back the power of another weapon of warfare. What's the hollow point that I share is 16 rounds of love. The projectile expands and hits more than just tissue. It's explosive and bomb in the spiritual issue. Paralyzes and makes knees sedentary, kissed by a hollow point. It spills life wherever it hits. It sits lodged in the memory of bliss. Eyes open wide and dilate colors. It travels to unopened roads, and there is no other way that somehow America missed the hollow point of love's bliss.
Wow. Well, that was multi-layered, as always. That touched on a lot of different topics within a few words. Thank you so much for sharing that with us this evening. I shouted you out. I'm not quite sure if you heard, you know, as far as thanking you as well as the other poets and listeners who donated to the talk show in order for us to have this episode and episodes moving forward towards October 18th, or at least up until this point, we've raised that much, and your contribution is definitely appreciated on behalf of us all, Life is Choreo. I just follow Life is Choreo, too, on Instagram at life_is_choreo, as in choreography, C-H-O. R-E-O, and definitely want you to know how much you are appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. I did hear, and I appreciate this venue. I will always say that it's necessary because it is, and I made good on my word. I promised I would do it, and
you
always
did.
Got your back.
You yes, and we have yours, and thank you. For that, stay with us, Life is Choreo. Don't hang up. We got about 5 more minutes on the air. Hold on one moment. Okay. You all have tuned into the Guns in America episode on the Poetic Soul Talk Show tonight. Once again, please go to the podcast if you didn't catch it all. blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life2 being the number 2. Very quickly, I wanted to announce or remind those of you who are or will be in the metro New York City area and can possibly make it, on September 12th, I will be having a book release party for Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls. It will be at the Financier Pétissier. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it will be on Saturday, September 12th at 5 p.m., located at 983 First Avenue, which is on the corner of East 54th Street in New York City. For those of you who are tuned in that know people in the New York City area and may want a voice, or read, please let me know via DM, because poets will be reading poems, or letters rather, from Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls at the event. It will not only be an event to enlighten, but it will also be one for networking and for us being able to meet one another face-to-face and give each other a hug or give your cousin a hug or whatever the case may be. Definitely will be posted on at Poetic Soul Talk Show on Instagram within the next 2 weeks coming. If you have not yet purchased A Literary Assault on the American Mind, for those of you who are highly intellectual, which is a majority of the Poetic Soul Talk Show family and community, please go to silentnoisepublishing.com and purchase A Literary Assault on the American Mind. It deals with not just guns and violence, but all that America is about, and writers from all over the country and even outside of the country have contributed to this anthology. So once again, A Literary Assault on the American Mind. Not next week Thursday, but the Thursday after September 10th, there will be an episode in which poets will be reading letters from Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls. Considering so many poets call from so many different places around the country, they would not be able to obviously make it to New York City for the book release party. And so Adela, also a former guest in support of the Poetic Soul Talk Show, suggested that those who purchased the book call in and read it on the air so we can have like an online talk show version of the book release party. So that will be September 10th. And September 14th, we will be celebrating my boo's death anniversary, unfortunately, Tupac. So definitely get your Pac poems and things of that nature ready for that episode. I'm going to end the episode with a letter called Dear Death from Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls, because ultimately that is what guns cause. And I did not write a letter to guns, but I'm considering doing that just to speak my perspective. And we, you know, of course, keep those who have been injured via guns and killed via guns in our prayers and their families as well. I mean, I don't even know what the numbers are, but I just know that they're way too high. And so this is Dear Death. Your demand for respect is infamous. We all know one day you will arrive. Some seek you, living lives recklessly or sadly. Others try to prepare for your arrival, yet to no avail. Our Father tells those of us who believe that you are inevitable. Indeed, you are. Even non-believers agree. Despite the pain you bring and the beliefs that you rob the living of, you do support the premise of living being worth every waking moment. For that, we are grateful. Your strength is not in vain. To be quite honest, I think a great majority fear you. I do. You leave no questions to pontificate, no dreams to chase. The suffering that humans endure as you barge into rooms of hospitals or bedrooms make you a godsend at times. The pain prior to is not your fault. We have so much to do before you take us away. Or do we? Your contract is signed when we are born. The uncomfortable truth is you know, but we don't. You leave no room for second chances. That is the truth. If only we could talk before seeing your face, not to find out your plans, because I truly do not want to know. However, if the ugly twin brother of life could tell us jewels we have still not yet discovered, then perhaps we could make peace with truths that haunt our imagination. Wise people say the way you live is the way you go. I tend to believe that to some extent. This applies to the service following and the honoring of the life lost. Do you deliver us to a lighter palate? Do we all see our lives pass us by? I am not so curious as to ask for a demonstration. I am fine without it. To some degree, you are a mystery in these regards. I just wonder. That's Dear Death. Thank you all so much for tuning in this evening and sharing your voice. definitely follow blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife. You can hear more from the poets that spoke on the air this evening, and definitely tune in on September 10th, which is a Thursday. Happy early Labor Day to you all. May you all be safe, and we will be speaking again. Have a great night.